As the risks of concussions and other brain trauma from playing football have become clearer, leagues have tried to limit the bone-rattling thwacks that were once celebrated by cheering spectators. Yet researchers increasingly believe that football-related head trauma is more likely to result from multiple and often perfectly legal hits rather than a single shot, which means the danger of playing football is as much in the accumulation of small hits to the head as it is the stomach-churning big one. And yet, no major organization at any level of the game, from Pop Warner to the NFL, has a mechanism in place for counting the number of blows players take to the head. So here's a modest proposal. Count hits to the head in football, just as we track pitches in baseball. The concept of limiting a pitcher's throws to prevent injury has become gospel throughout baseball, from Little League, where young pitchers must leave the game after reaching preset caps, to the pros, despite the fact that there is no scientific consensus about how these numbers actually preserve vulnerable arms. These counts are so entrenched that graphics on TV broadcasts keep a running tally of throws, and announcers fill airtime debating how long arms can hold up. And when the star pitcher Matt Harvey makes his playoff debut for the New York Mets on Monday night, it will mark the latest turn in a spat over his pitch count that has dominated tabloid back pages and sports radio airwaves for weeks. Yet in football, where brains are at stake and the science is clear, a similar debate over instituting hit counts is virtually non-existent. The current high school football season reinforces the tragic case for why that needs to change. On September 11th, Ben Hamm, a junior linebacker at Wesleyan Christian School in Oklahoma, collapsed on the sideline after being involved in a tackle. The play appeared routine, according to Rocky Clark, the school's superintendent. No one saw any evidence of an illegal helmet-to-helmet hit or heard the violent crack of a particularly brutal shot. Hamm had missed most of his freshman year with a concussion, Clark says, but followed established protocols in subsequent seasons. Contact during practice was limited. Coaches constantly checked for signs of concussions during practices and games. 8 days later, Hamm died after suffering an apparent head injury. The medical examiner has yet to announce a cause of death. He was 16. Near Seattle, less than a month later, 17-year-old Kenny Buey died of a brain injury 3 days after hurting his head in a game. Buey reportedly had what his school called a mild concussion earlier this season, but had been cleared by a doctor to resume playing. Nor does a player need to get concussed to be at risk of brain trauma. In one recent study of high school football players, researchers at Purdue University found measurable neurocognitive impairment, even though the players had no clinically observed concussion symptoms. I don't see how a reasonable person would argue that we should count pitches to protect the elbow, but not count hits to protect the brain, says Stefan Duma, a professor of biomedical engineering at Virginia Tech. Duma's research has shown that football players as young as 7 have sustained head impact at forces similar to a car crash. How it would work? The goal is to track every hit to the head at a certain level of force in both practices and games. That can be done by outfitting helmets with sensors. The technology already exists, but it isn't cheap, up to $40,000 to outfit a team. But a commitment from a large organization like the NCAA or youth football's Pop Warner League could drastically reduce those costs down to no more than $100 per helmet, according to Eric Nauman, a professor of biomedical engineering at Purdue. The key challenge is determining how many head hits a player can sustain before sitting out. There is no magic number. In baseball, scientists comb the data and determine that an 8-year-old shouldn't throw more than 50 pitches in a day, with the knowledge that every arm is different. Some kids can handle more work, while others have more delicate arms and shoulders. A good starting point for hit counts in high school football could be limiting players to no more than 90 blows in a week exceeding 20 Gs, which is roughly equivalent to the whiplash from a mild fender bender. Naumann suggests that number based on Purdue's brain imaging research, which found that almost every high school player who got hit at this rate or higher showed evidence of brain injury, even if he didn't suffer concussion symptoms like dizziness and memory loss. None of the leading football organizations are ready to commit to implementing hit counts. The devil's in the details, says Dr. Mitchell Berger, chair of neurosurgery at the University of California San Francisco Medical Center and a member of the NFL's Head, Neck, and Spine Committee. Just doing hit counts at various levels of force and direction may not give us the answer we need. I think we all agree that we need to start to think about getting this information and ultimately try to match it to the player. But Berger, who was speaking on behalf of the NFL, says it's a leap of faith to assume that this is going to provide us with any definitive information to help us right now better determine things like return to play or whether a player is susceptible to another concussion or not. On the college level, NCAA Chief Medical Officer Dr. Brian Hainlein said in an email that the marketing of head sensors to measure head impact forces is way ahead of supporting science. Hainlein said the NCAA is working with the United States Department of Defense to conduct a large-scale study of concussions and is researching the effectiveness of sensors so that we can make a science-driven decision about head impact exposure. Pop Warner, which runs youth football leagues for more than 200,000 kids around the nation, says the organization is open to the idea but doesn't believe the technology is ready. It's very hard, says Josh Pruce, a Pop Warner spokesperson. We haven't found anything that's perfect yet. Implementing hit counts won't be easy. Recognizing that the very act of playing can have long-term consequences cuts to the heart of football's problem with traumatic brain injuries. Really, nobody wants to believe that regular hits in a football game cause long-term damage to the brain, says Chris Nowinski, a former college football player who runs the Concussion Legacy Foundation, a nonprofit dedicated to reducing brain injuries. Football culture is resistant to counting hits since people don't think they're worth counting. The science is clear that they are. Last month, researchers at Boston University announced that 87 of 91 brains of deceased NFL players they had studied showed signs of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, a devastating neurological disease believed to result from blows to the head. There's more than enough evidence to say we need hit counts right now, says Naumann. Why don't we err on the safe side and go from there? No hit count proposal will be perfect, but neither are pitch counts. Baseball started somewhere. Why can't football do the same? This article posted by Sean Gregory.